Here we go.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching. Just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Sing that again.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you that you are a good, good Father, that you love us more than we can imagine, Lord, that you know what is best for us, Lord, and you have laid that out for us. And so often what you know is best is not what we think is best. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to draw our strength from you. Lord, in these moments, I pray that you would guide us, Lord, that you would help put aside the distractions, Lord, and that in these moments, Lord, we would hear your voice, Lord, that we would recognize your spirit, Lord, and that a fresh wind and a fresh fire would fall upon us today. Lord, draw us into your presence, Lord. May we worship you with all that is within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue in worship through singing now. more time. Sing that again.
Turn your eyes upon.
Dearly Father, we praise you this morning. You are perfect in all your ways to us, Father. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your many blessings upon us. May we always not take for granted your love. Father, we just pray that you bless these offerings and tithes. May they be used to spread the word of your glory and grace to others. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Thank you, choir. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7 this morning. The next 4 weeks, or this week including the next 3 weeks, I'm actually going to be preaching on the same thing that Mark is teaching the youth. So hopefully, youth, I'm going to say something new and different than Mark says, not completely new, but at least complimentary, but hopefully not the same thing. Hopefully it's not going to be hearing the same thing over again. But the theme of these four Sundays is really setting the standard. Now, a standard is kind of, you know, it's a level that's kind of supposed to go across all the lines. And so as we're beginning the year, your bulletin says setting the standard with focusing on Christ. The insert says directions for the new year. The two fit together in that this week kind of sets the standard for the year. Okay? And so we're going to be looking at a couple passages. This week it's going to be 2 Timothy 2. Next week it's going to be Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to look at two passages from 1 John the last two Sundays of the month. But I want to set some directions for the new year. As we begin a new year, it kind of helps that we kind of know what direction we're headed. It helps to know where we are going, doesn't it? And so, being a manager overseeing staff is kind of new to me, but it helps the staff for me to set a direction of where we're headed for the new year, so they kind of know where we're going. This is where we are, and this is kind of the road that we want to head on. And so it kind of helps to know where we're going, right? And so that's what we're going to be doing is setting a standard this morning of where we are headed, both kind of as a church and I think as direction of where we as individuals walking with the Lord also need to be heading as well. Okay, so 2 Timothy is going to kind of give us our directions for this morning. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is an elder or a pastor in a church, and so he's really writing to Timothy as an elder, as a pastor, but I think what he says to Timothy applies across the board for the most part, all right? There's really nothing super special about me. I've been ordained, I've been to seminary, but you know what? As some have said, I'm a dying man preaching to dying people about Jesus Christ. Right? So, you know, although I stand in the pulpit and I've had some training and you've called me as your pastor, in the day-to-day affairs, I am a sinner just like you. And so there's nothing that sets me apart that much from you, okay? So let's look at what Paul says this morning to Timothy. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, as we look at your word this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak in our ears, would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would teach us and instruct us, that you would guide us into your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point of your outline says that says, be strong in grace. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So if Paul is telling Timothy to be strong, then there's at least that the idea in Paul's mind that Timothy is in some ways weak or timid or concerned. We see from other places where Paul has written to Timothy that he tells him that don't let people look down on you. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to be strong. We need to be strong. Are there times that we feel weak? Are there times that we feel timid? I don't know about you, but I know that I have had those times, and probably I will have those times again, where I just feel like I'm at the end of myself. I don't know what I can do. I feel powerless. So I need to be strong. Well, how is it that we can be strong? Where do we look for strength? Do we look inside ourselves? Do we reach down to the core of who we are and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps? Do we look to others? Do I need to look for my strength in Kim, or do I need to look for strength in my children? If I'm feeling weak, do I look for strength in my job? Well, if we're going to be strong, it helps to know where that strength is going to come from, right? So maybe your New Year's resolution is that you're going to work out this year. You're going to go to the gym. So maybe you're thinking your strength is going to come from being able to bench press 250 pounds, right? That's strength, isn't it? But that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul isn't saying, Timothy, you need to bulk up. You need to eat your I don't even know. I don't eat it, so I don't know. But he's not saying you need to go to GNC and look on the shelf and find the stuff that says muscle building formula. Yeah, that's not what Paul's saying. So where does Timothy need to look for strength? Timothy needs to look to God. That's where his strength is going to come from. It's from God. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31 says this: the everlasting God gives power to the weak. So what does Isaiah say? Isaiah says that if you're weak, look to God. God will give you the power that you need. It's not in a box of Wheaties. It's not at the gym. It's not at doing planks in your house to build up your core, right? Isaiah says the everlasting God will give you the power that you need. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I don't fit in the category of young men anymore in that passage. All right? There are people that can run circles around me. You know, I know these people. This past summer, my children were involved in cross country. All right? And so the goal for some of those people in cross country is to run a marathon. You know what a marathon is? It's like 26 miles. Okay? If I can run 26 feet, I'm doing good. Miles are not on my horizon yet. Now, I do want to get in better physical shape, so maybe we'll get to the point where I can run a mile or jog two, maybe walk three. All right? But Isaiah says that when you're weak, when you're feeling faint, God will give you the strength. When you're not feeling like you can't press on, that God will help you to mount up with wings of eagles. to run and not grow weary, to walk and not grow faint. Now, I don't think Isaiah is talking about marathons. I don't think Isaiah is talking about running around the track. I don't think he's talking about climbing sharp top or flat top or whatever it is. I don't think that's what Isaiah is talking about. I think Isaiah is talking about spiritually, emotionally, when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling faint, that God will give you the strength to keep going. I don't know what this year is going to look like for you. I don't know what this year is going to look like for me. I don't know what this year is going to look like for this church. But you know what I know? That whatever comes, if we look to God, He will give us the strength to keep going on. I don't know what's coming, but I know the God who's already there. And if He has the power to speak the universe into existence, if He has the power to speak the birds of the air and the animals of the land and the trees and everything that we see, if He can just say, let there be light, and there's light, if He can put the sun in the sky, if He can put the stars out there, if He can do all that, if it's the same God who can make the dead to live, who can make the blind to see, the lame to walk, then I believe that that God, based on what He has done in the past, is fully capable of giving us the strength that we need to move forward. But as we head into the new year, we need to know where we need to look in the difficult times. Because if we're not looking in the right place, what we're going to find is that we frustrate ourselves by looking in things that can't give us strength, that can't keep us moving. So Paul says to Timothy, be strong. Because Paul knew the challenges of the Christian life. Paul knew the difficulties that had come his way, and he knew that in those difficulties, when he's beaten, when he's stoned, when he's in jail, when he's all these things, Paul says, I know that God has strengthened me, Timothy. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 to 11 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Isaiah has said, God's going to give you strength. Paul is saying here in Ephesians that to look to God, that be strong in the Lord. To put on the full armor, not that Dr. Phil's going to give you, not that the Chew's going to give you, not read the latest magazine in Women's Day or Men's Health or the Cosmopolitan or wherever it is that you're reading to find out how you're going to face the day. He doesn't say, look at your horoscope. He didn't say, go get your palm read. He didn't say to look at the tarot cards and the tea leaves and all these things. Paul says to put on the armor that God will provide. That we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Our battle day to day is not with people. It's not with people across the aisle. It's not with people from other countries. Our battle ultimately is against the devil, who's going to try to lead us away from God. Who's going to feed us lies. And so we've got to put on the armor of God so that we can stand in the face of the attacks of the devil. Because he's going to wear us down. He's going to wear us out. He's going to try to take our eyes off of Jesus. So Paul says to Timothy, be strong. What? Be strong in the grace that comes from Jesus Christ. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, be strong in the Lord, but he's also saying, be strong in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's getting what we don't deserve. Do you understand what you have in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ? If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you have been adopted by God. You are a child of the living God. That same God who spoke the universe into existence. That same God who parted the Red Sea. The same God who put his hand around Abraham and around Moses and around the children of Israel. That same God who helped David stand against Goliath. That same God who protected his disciples. You have a relationship with him. You are a child of God. You don't deserve it, but God's given it to you. The Bible says that you're a co-heir with Jesus Christ, that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That when you face difficulties, God is there. When you face temptations, the Holy Spirit is there. God has given you his word. He's given you his truth. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. As you begin this year, as I begin this year, I want us to be strong in the grace that God gives through Jesus Christ. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. If he loves you that much, do you think that you'll ever do anything that's going to make him to stop loving you? To stop forgiving you? To stop strengthening you? If he is indeed a good, good father, and that's what the Bible reveals him to be, then he's always going to do what's best for you. Jesus says, if we as earthly parents know how to give good gifts, how much more so does the Father in heaven know how to give us those things that we need? Do you think that when you're in trouble that God won't hear and come? If you would come when your child calls out your name, how much more so will God do the same? Be strong in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Second point of your outline, pass on the truth. I'm not going to spend nearly as much time on this part, but Paul says to Timothy, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul is saying, I have poured into you, Timothy. I have given you God's truth. Don't just hold on to it. Don't just hide it in your heart, but share it with other people. He's saying, Timothy, teach. Teach those around you. Some of you are Sunday school teachers. So what is he saying? He's saying, teach the word of God to your Sunday school class. He's saying to me, teach the word of God to the congregation. Feed the sheep. But you know that we each run into encounters with other people. I have the opportunity to teach my wife, to teach my children. But you know what? My wife teaches me too. She is my helpmate. So if you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, if you are a husband or a wife, if you are a student, teach those people around you. Speak God's truth. What you heard today in youth group, share that with your friends. What you heard today in the men's Sunday school class, or the women's Sunday school class, or in the LEAP Sunday school class, or what you heard today in the marriage and family Sunday school class, pass that on to somebody else, to a coworker, to a parent, to a sister, to a brother, to a friend. Pass on the word of God. Teach other people. Paul says to Timothy, he says, not only do I want you to be strong in the grace that comes from God, but I also want you to teach what you have heard to faithful men and women so that they will then pass it on to other people, so they will then pass it on to other people so that God's truth continues on and is broadcast out and is proclaimed to the masses. We're all a part of that. You see people I will never see. You have opportunities to talk to people at work and to the marketplace and in the grocery store and in the restaurant that I will never see. You can't just leave it to me. You can't leave it to the Sunday school teachers. You can't leave it to the deacons. You can't leave it to other people to do, because you encounter people that nobody else does. And you have the opportunity to impact them with God's truth. So what you've learned, pass it on to other people. All right? Directions for this new year: be strong in grace, pass on the truth. Point number three, persevere in the faith. Look what he says in verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship. All right? He doesn't say you might. Paul says to Timothy, you are going to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel. Paul knows that, doesn't he? He's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's been shipwrecked, he's been in jail overnight, he's been run out of town. Those that he once considered as his friends, as he was a Pharisee among the Pharisees, are now his enemies. He's basically lost everything for the sake of the gospel. He's telling Timothy, you must endure hardship. But what does he say? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but I know a lot of you have been in the military at some point. Right? Terry Barnes tells me that they made him jump out of perfectly good planes. Oh, you didn't. You didn't actually do it. They wanted you to. I think they made you do it, didn't they? Okay. All right. Well. But I know that when you're in the military, right? The military calls you to do things that you may not want to do. I've heard stories from Malcolm and Vicky about their son-in-law. All right? Sometimes they don't know where he's going, and they don't know what he's doing. But you know what he does? He has to leave his wife and children behind. He has to leave his job behind. Why? Well, because he's got orders, but because he believes in a cause greater than himself. All right? Carl and Edna, they've got what? A grandson-in-law that's in special forces. All right? They made him go out in the wilderness and I think like fend for himself for a couple days. I don't know what he ate. I don't know what he did. But I'm sure it was a hardship. Be perfect, wonderful. I mean, not wonderful. It'd be a horrible hardship for me because I couldn't do all that stuff. But a good soldier, a soldier's focus is on winning the war. When he's in the trenches and the enemy is firing over his head, his concern is on his safety and winning the battle. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, your focus needs to be on pleasing Jesus Christ. That means that you've got to give up some things, Timothy. Some bad things, maybe. Some things that you just need to put aside. But there are some good things, Timothy, that you're going to have to put aside as well for the sake of pleasing your commanding officer. There are lots of good things in this world that we have to put aside because we are involved in a spiritual warfare. Because we're living not for this life, but in light of eternity. And so there are times that we have to make choices to not get involved in the entertainment and the things of this world that aren't necessarily bad, but they're not helping with the goal. Because our ultimate goal is to come through this life having run the race with endurance and to bring as many people with us into the kingdom of God. And so for me, that may be different than for you, but that means that there are some things that I have to say, that's not my concern. My concern is the kingdom of God. And so that's where I need to put my focus. That's where I need to plant my eyes. As a good soldier, I don't get tangled up in the things of this world because I want to please God. I don't hold to the things of this world. Okay, so you know what that might look like in Paul's life? Paul was a tent maker. That obviously means that what? He made tents, right? So as he went from town to town, as he had the opportunity, if he was there long enough, he would make tents for people. Now, I have no idea how you do that. I mean, I get the idea probably there's, you know, fabric and stitching, and you stitch it together. But I don't think there was ever a point that Paul said, you know what, God, the tent-making business here in this town is really good. It's brisk. I'm making plenty of money. You know, I'm getting money hand over hand, fist over fist. I'm making a lot of money here, God. So how about you just send somebody else to the next town to share the gospel? Because I really like making tents. I don't think Paul ever said that. But if he had, that would have been getting entangled in the things of this world. Because Paul understood that his goal was not to make the best tents on the market. His goal was to share the gospel with as many people as he could. And so our focus should not be on making money for money's sake or our own pleasure. Our goal should not be becoming the most successful person in our job. If we do our job well and we do our job as pleasing to the Lord, then I think we will do good things. But we need to understand that our goal is not success in this world. Our goal is to please God. So the question is, what is it that would please God in your life? And are there things that you're entangled in, that you're holding on to, that God's saying, I want you to let that go? I have those things sometimes. I've said it before. I like computer games. And even after I told you before that I like computer games and I tried to put them aside, you know what? They came back up. And so I had to unentangle myself again because I find that that's not an effective use of my time. If I've got time, I either need to spend it on things for the church, on things for my family, or sharing gospel with the people around me, building relationships. Because when I cross through the pearly gates into the presence of God, my success on computer games is not going to matter. Do you understand that? Now, I haven't gotten involved in Fortnite. But Fortnite is not going to help you in the kingdom of God. The next craze is not going to help you in the kingdom of God. Now, I play games now with my children, and there are games that they enjoy on their Wii and on their Switch and those things, and I do that as part of fellowshipping with my kids. But I don't, you know, in the wee hours of the night when they're sleeping, I don't sneak out and turn on the Wii so I can get to the next level. I don't borrow Ethan's Switch while he's sleeping so that I can do the next thing. I use it as part of spending time with my kids, but I don't use it as a goal unto itself, because at this moment, I'm understanding that that's not something I need to get entangled in. Now, I don't know what it is that draws you aside, but I think we all have things that Satan uses to try to get us connected with the things of this world, to try to waste our time, to squander the resources God has given us, and to lose sight of why we're here. Paul says to Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says this, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus says we've got to count the cost. There is a cost associated with following Jesus. We've got to count it. He says in that passage, he says that who goes out to build a tower without having counted the cost of how much the tower is going to cost? I've seen houses around Lynchburg, and it looks like somebody had some money and they started some renovations, and something happened because they haven't finished. You know, you see the house, they put up the plywood and they put up the Tyvek, but you still see the Tyvek. And that is not what the good builder intended to be the final covering on your house. You know, there are things that I want to replace, but I need to count the cost before I get into it so that I don't get halfway into a project and realize that I can't finish it. He says that the king who's going out to battle counts the cost. He makes sure that he's ready to pay the price that it's going to cost to win the battle. There's a cost associated with being a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to count the cost. It means we're going to have to give up some things. It means we're going to have to say no to some things. Because he says that we need to take up our cross. What is that? It's an instrument of death. It means that I die to myself. That when I get up in the morning, I don't say, what do I want to accomplish today? How can I be a success today? I say, God, what do you want me to do today? That's how I started my day yesterday. And you know what? My day yesterday looked completely different than I would have ever expected. I spent the day serving. And that's fine. Because I think that's what God wanted me to do. Is to serve others. And that's what my day looked like. But the day before, what did I get to do? I got to fix the stove and fix the toilet. Now, you may not think that that's exciting, but that was on my to-do list. I got it done. But that wasn't on my to-do list for yesterday. All right. Yesterday, instead of getting my projects done, I got some other things done. Count the cost. Be a good soldier. Don't get entangled in the things of this world. He continues on in verse 5, and he says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Do you know there are rules for the race that we run? If we want to be crowned at the end, that there are rules for the race that we run as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, it helps to know what the rules are, right? This past Monday, I was part of the group that took the youth over to Liberty for Winterfest. And so we were looking to fill some time in the afternoon, so we decided to go to the racquetball courts. All right? Now, if you had seen the youth playing in the racquetball courts, it would be obvious they did not know the rules for racquetball. Okay? Because what they, in essence, did is they had an imaginary net in the middle of the racquetball court, and one stood on this side and one stood on that side, and they hit the ball back and forth. Now, that might be how you play tennis, but that's not how you play racquetball. Now, it's been a long time since I've played, but in racquetball, you play it all off of the walls. And so I hit it once, and then the other person hits it once, and we don't want it to hit the floor more than twice. Those are the rules. So if the youth had been in a competition, they wouldn't have gotten far. Why? Because they didn't know the rules. In the Christian life, we need to know what the rules are, right? Do you know where you're going to find the rules? Right here. They're in the Word of God. If we want to compete and we want to succeed, there are things that God says that we should do and things that we should not do. A good athlete wants to know the rules and obey the rules. Because when you don't obey the rules in athletics, you know what happens? You get disqualified. Right? So he says that to Timothy, you're going to endure hardship as a good soldier. You're going to endure hardship as an athlete. He says in verse 6, the hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. So he's using three illustrations. The one that of a soldier, that of an athlete, that of a farmer. If the farmer wants the crops, you know what he has to do? He has to work hard. I don't know how many of you have planted a garden. I've planted many a garden. I'm not a hardworking gardener. All right, we've planted the garden, but it takes a lot to keep the weeds out. It takes diligence that I did not have, and so the weeds grew up around my tomatoes. All right, you have to be a hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer should be the first one to eat. You know why the hard-working farmer needs to eat? Because if the hardworking farmer doesn't eat, you know what? He can't work hard. So he needs to eat to work, but he also needs to work to eat. Right? I mean, he can eat all the food, but if he doesn't work hard, what? There's not going to be any at the end of the season. All right, so I don't think Paul's writing about your gardening skills. What is Paul writing about? I think Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, you need to eat of God's word. You need to be a partaker of God's word, Timothy, so that when you partake of God's word, then you can teach God's word. So if you want to be in a position where you can endure the hardship, where you can make it through, then you need to be eating of God's word. You need to be a part of a fellowship with other believers. All right, there are Bible studies. There are Sunday school classes. There are times of prayer that we have. All of those things are partaking of God's word and God's fellowship, and those things help us to move forward. You can read the Bible at home, and you can pray at home, and you can sing at home. But God didn't make us to work in isolation. He made us to work together. And you know what? When you're working with others in the garden, you get a whole lot farther. That was probably my problem. I wasn't working with other people. I had my children who were inside, what? I don't know, reading books, playing their games, something. But if I got them out in the garden, pulling the weeds, maybe my garden would have done better. If we want to endure hardship, we need to partake of God's word. We need to be in daily prayer. We need to be in fellowship with God. But I think also we are aided by being with other believers. Being in fellowship. So that when the difficulties come, I have other people who come alongside me and bear my burdens. I have people that I can discuss the word of God with. I have people that I can pray with because there is power in corporate prayer. And I have people that can carry me along when I'm just worn out. You know, I may not be able to sing, but if I can stand in the presence of other saints singing to God, it will lift my spirits. I may not be able to pray because I'm just weak and worn out, but when I have those who gather around me and pray, I am lifted up into the throne of God, and they pray on my behalf, and God gives me the strength. It benefits me to hear others teach the word of God. I enjoy hearing other preachers preach and other teachers teach and to hear what they have to say. But we need to be hard-working farmers who are eating of God's word and then studying God's word. And then teaching God's word. Because the hardworking farmer isn't just working for himself. He should be working for others. His family, his friends, maybe if that's his job, that's where he makes his money, is working hard, right? Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. Pass on the word of God. Persevere in the Christian walk. Be a good soldier. Know the rules. Work hard and eat of God's truth. And then he ends like I should end every sermon. Meditate on what I've said. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Consider what I say. Do you know what that means? Timothy, think about what I just told you. Meditate on it, Timothy. Don't just read it and move on. The God's word is not a classroom assignment for school where you just check off the box that I read the chapter for class. This is the guidebook for life. This is God's truth. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. You're not going to find that description for Tolkien. You're not going to find that description for I don't know, my mind's a blank, other authors that are out there, Tom Clancy, or whoever it is, Janet Oak, or whoever. There's something different about God's word. So don't just read it to check it off. Read God's word and then think about what it says. Don't just come to church and say, well, I went to Sunday school. I went to the worship service. I'm good for a week. No, God wants you to meditate on what his word has said. Hopefully I'm speaking God's truth, but I want you to take what I've said today and then look at God's word and meditate on what God has said today. And then Paul says this, don't just consider what I say, but then he moves on and he says, and may the Lord God give you understanding in all things. Hear that? That's a prayer that Paul is praying for Timothy. Timothy, I want you to think about what I'm saying, but my prayer for you, Timothy, is that God will grant you understanding. My prayer for you, Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, my prayer for you, family of the faith, is that God will grant you understanding. I don't want you to come through this week and somebody says, well, what did you hear on Sunday? And you say, well, I don't know. The pastor talked about the fact that he used to play computer games and he doesn't do it now. That's not what I want you to remember. My illustrations should only point you to God's word, but my illustrations aren't the important part. God's word is the important part. And so it's my prayer that God will give you understanding into his word, that God will help you to apply his word to your life so that you carry it into this afternoon, that you carry it into this week, that you carry it into the difficulties that you face this coming week, that God helps you to understand and apply his truth to your life. But Paul says today, inspired by God, says, be strong in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. What I want you to take away, I want you to be strong. And the only way you're going to be strong is through Jesus Christ, through God, through the strength that he gives. I want you to take what you learn, and I want you to pass it on to other people. And I want you to understand that you're going to endure hardship. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to seek what you can do to please God. That you need to know the rules and you need to follow the rules that are in God's word. He tells us things that we need to stay away from. He warns us against attitudes and emotions that we need to fight against. He tells us that we're fighting against Satan, who is seeking whom he may devour. Do you understand that, what that means? Satan is not a little kitten playing with a ball. Satan is a lion trying to destroy you. And the only way you're going to stand against Satan is to know what God's word says and to draw on the strength that God gives you. And then we've got to work hard. The Christian faith is not easy. It's not for amateurs. It's not a game that we play with no cost at the end. The Christian faith is a battle. It's a war, and we are in the middle of it. The bullets are flying overhead. The IEDs are there along the way that Satan's trying to destroy us as we go down the road. We need to stand firm, know the rules, know what God's word says. We need to work hard. And then we need to meditate on God's truth and pray that God will give us understanding. Don't just read it to read it and say it's done. Read it to understand who God is. Every verse, every passage is revealing the heart of God. Dig in there to see what God's heart is saying. Read in there to see what God says about you. Read in there to see the love and the grace of God. Read in there to see the mercy and forgiveness of God. But read in there to see the calling of God, to which Paul looked at it and said, everything else is rubbish to know Christ. I press on towards the goal, Paul says, not looking behind me, but I press on. I focus my attention, the author of Hebrews says, that I focus my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. I put aside those things that trip me up. I put aside those things that slow me down, and I keep my eyes on Jesus. Does that give you direction for the new year? Does that give you a plan for your new year? Be strong. Teach others. Endure hardship and meditate on God's truth. If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your word this morning, for your truth, for your love. Lord, for the direction that you give us. Lord, we may have New Year's resolutions. We may have to-do lists for the day. We may have plans for our week. But Lord, I pray first and foremost above all those things is to walk closer with you this year and to do what pleases you. I pray that we know where to look in our times of weakness, in our times of difficulty, when the world seems to fall apart around us. I pray that the first place that we go is to you in prayer. The second place we go is to your word. And then the third place we go is to our fellowship, Lord, to lift us up, to come alongside us. Father, thank you for giving us directions for this year. May we consider what you say, and may you grant us understanding into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. A hymn of response this morning is number 598, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. If I can pray with you this morning, I would love to pray with you. If there's a concern on your heart that you would like me or Mark or somebody else to come alongside you and just pray for you, we would be glad to do that. If you're here and you want to be more a part of this family, if you want to become a member of Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, we would welcome you in to help you in your Christian walk. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'd like to know more about that, I'd like to share that with you as well. Hymn number 598, Wherever He Leads, I Go. Got all of our Sunday evening activities, children, Awana, youth, adult Bible studies. So come on back out tonight for those things. Again, if you're coming to the mission study tonight, go ahead and pick up one of those prayer guides from the pew. Take it with you. Bring that back along with your Bible this evening as Jim leads us in our international mission study tonight. Okay, we've got two lovely young ladies at the back. They are there if you wanted to contribute to our benevolence offering. All right, so they're there for that. Okay. Anything you need to mention, Mark? All right. You want to close that in prayer?
Yeah. Father God, it is it's a new year, and it's an exciting one. God, we look at 2018, and we look at all the blessings that you have so graciously bestowed upon us. And we look forward to 2019. God, thank you for the message that our pastor has brought to us, encouraging us to focus in on you. God, to be strong in the midst of trials, to meditate on your word, Father God. God, I would pray that that would be the heartbeat of this church. God, I pray as we step outside of these walls, Father God, that we would not just be members of Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, but that we would be members of your family, Christ followers. May that be what the world sees in us to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name.